victory in Jesus. I am so glad to know this morning that I am a child of the King and that I serve a God who is alive and well and one who is preparing a place or has prepared a place for us. And one of these days, for too long, He's going to call us home. And He's going to rapture His church. But I just pray, in the meanwhile, we'll just be ready to harvest during this time. And that is the title of our message today, Harvest Time. It is so fitting. I'll tell you this, the Lord orchestrates things much better than I could ever dream to. And this message today about harvest time, the song that Brother Nathan sang this morning, runs parallel with this message this morning about being the body and the hands and our hearts and all that we are reaching out to loved ones as well as those who we don't know. But this morning, harvest time, I want to ask you a question this morning as you found your place in God's Word. In this past year, if you have, now I'm not talking about 09, all right? But in the last year, if you have invited someone to church and they have came, will you stand to your feet for me just for a minute? You've invited someone to church in the last year and they came. Now, that doesn't take away from those who have invited, because I know all of us probably could stand on that account. But I want us, just for a minute, to applaud these who have went out and done this, praising the Lord. You, before you sit down, are my heroes. You may be seated. Harvest time. Do you realize that I am just one person, you are just one person, but what we can accomplish together, we have preached on that. And put a lot of emphasis on that here of late. And that's not my message today. But let me tell you why this church is full this morning. It's not because of one person. It's really not because of any individual, but it's because of the Lord. But here's what we have to do. We have to be willing vessels. And God has set His plan up to present the gospel and for those to come to know the Lord by us going out in the streets and compelling them to come in and testifying and being a witness for what the Lord has done for you. And let me tell you why this facility is full this morning. And this is a dream. Don't get me wrong, this is a dream. To be able to stand in front of these people. I tell you, you should be so scared to stand up in front of anyone. It could have been two people in the crowd. And just to be able to stand up, my knees would knock. And well, I've eaten so much now, my knees don't touch. But they don't even try to go in that direction anymore. But I'll tell you this morning, I like this. I love this, and I am anxious to see. And mark this well, okay? It's just a matter of time, of course, before the wall comes down. There's no opposition. We just got to get all our ducks in a row. But the wall will come down within from service to service, so that's not going to be a problem. We're pretty good at tearing stuff up around here. It's when you want us to preserve something or maybe build a birdhouse, you need to give us a little time and be patient. But when it comes down, let me tell you what I see. I see today, but I see it being multiplied. And we could multiply it by two and have this whole entire facility full, not just this portion. But it's coming, and I'm excited. And then now is the time that we, as God's people, take advantage of what He's given us, and let's run with it. All right? It's time to run with it, and it's time to get busy. And the good thing is this. Yes, we were at conference this past week. And, you know, we have, I think, 40 churches in our South Carolina conference. We are the biggest conference in the state of South Carolina. This church is associated with the South Carolina conference. And there are many ministers there. And you're going to have most of the time more ministers at our conference just because there's more churches being represented. And our time to meet was at our moderator for South Carolina Conference, Brother Theron Scott, his church in Johnsonville is where we were meeting. And, of course, that's where I had to go before the ordination board Thursday night. And then Friday they recommended me before the conference, and they voted on me, and everything went well. And so now I can stop, you know, trying to be nice. Amen. But everything went well. But let me tell you what happened. There were several ministers, like Brother Mike said, and I just want to share this with you because I always like to brag on you and encourage you. Even though sometimes you feel like I'm tearing all of your defenses down, it's just in order to build you back up, all right? But, you know, I heard just this past week that even a tombstone says something nice about a dead person. We ought to be able to say something good about the living, amen? Now, that message is coming. That's a sneak preview. Won't cost you a dime. But here's the thing. They said. And I'm just bragging on you because the Lord, please understand, He gets all the glory. But I think you need to get the encouragement. See, God don't need to be encouraged. He's going to do what He's going to do. He just needs to receive all the honor and the glory, the magnification, but you, the people, need to receive the encouragement. Okay? Because both of those is what it takes to get the job done. But that being said, because of your zeal and your forwardness in your mind, and you're willing to tell people and testify, this is why this facility is full. We are learning how to come together as a group and as a team, and we are seeing the fruit of your labor. And I like it. And I want to be a part of this, and I want us to continue to grow. Now, understand, we don't have to lose the zeal or the forwardness. A lot of people and myself, I've even caught myself saying, well, man, when's it going to come to an end? See, that's the thing, it don't have to come to an end. Because, see, God is still on His throne. He hasn't brought us this far to let us down. He hasn't come brought us to this point and said, okay, now you're on your own. Oh, no, no. He said, I've brought you this far, and I've rose you up to do a great work for me. So don't lose sight of that, and let's go forward with it. All right. Now, that being said, here is the expression that I probably like the most out of the ministers there at that meeting. They said, Lebanon Church has got the woods on fire in Effingham. Yeah. I kind of like that, too. Amen. In fact, I love that. I'll take that. The woods are on fire. You know why? Because God's got something going on at Lebanon Church. And this is the place to be. This is who we are. And this is what we do. Amen. So this morning, harvest time. Look with me at John 4:35. I have an exciting message for you this morning. I heard Bobby Jackson, the longtime evangelist, say this past week. He had a lot of good sayings, and I wrote down some, remembered some, forgot the others. But I'm going to share with you one of them that he shared with us at the meeting. He said, I'm going to preach fast, and you listen fast. You just don't get done before I do. All right? So here we go this morning. John 4:35. Because, see, we all got to be back at 3 o'clock. Amen? There's another inauguration going on this week. And I hate to tell you to come to church for me today, but you're going to have to at 3 o'clock, all right? Boy, this is going to be exciting. Here we go. John 4:35. Look with me at this verse and pay very close attention. Say not ye. I've always wanted to say ye not because it seems to make a little more sense. But look at it here in this interpretation of God's Word. Say not ye or say ye not. Now, this is Jesus talking to His 12 disciples. There are yet 4 months. And then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Will you bow your souls with me this morning in prayer? Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, your living word. Lord, the only word that will stand for the rest of eternity and forever. And God, this morning, you have given us the opportunity to be able to come together in one place, in one accord, in one body, and listen to the precious Word of God. Not only just to be hearers of the Word, as James said, but God, to go out and be doers of the Word. May you, by this Word this morning, empower us and give us the motivation and the encouragement that we need, Lord, to go forward and to help produce fruit in the field of harvest. And Lord, I pray now, it's harvest time as well as any, and may you help us see that this morning, and may you help your messenger this morning be able to present the Word of God as you would have it be spoken. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, just to bring you up to speed, I have preached on the lady at the well, love that story, make several references to it, but I'm not preaching on her this morning. But it's important that you understand exactly what this verse means and what it's following and what it's leading up to. See, the lady at the well has just been saved by Jesus Christ. You know the story. She decided to take the water that He offered, which is the everlasting water that's in Jesus Christ, that we all are partakers of as Christians, and all of us who are not have the opportunity to take part in Christ because He has paid the sin debt for everyone, all man. So here, she's just been saved. And the 12 disciples have come back from their journey in town. And they walked up, and Jesus is standing there, and He makes some very, very important statements just in this one verse alone. And he tells them that, behold, you need to take a moment. Behold, just stop what you're doing for just a minute. And I want you to lift up your eyes. And I want you to take a minute to just look over the fields and examine them. Take it in for a minute. Just soak it up. And understand that it is time to harvest. It is ready. The fields are ready. Now, can you imagine Jesus is standing here with the 12 ordinary men that did extraordinary things. Remember, He did not call the qualified, but He called them in order to qualify them. I've told you before, I'll tell you again, don't you ever think for one minute you cannot be used by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't underestimate His ability to change your life. He can do it just like that. And you say, why hasn't He? Because you haven't given it to Him yet. As soon as you give it to Him, He changes it. He's an immediate God. And He'll bring a change into your life. So if it's not changed, truth be known, you've probably still got it, wanting it to change, but you have it in a clenched fist. Now, look at this. I want to share with you very importantly. Look at the first part of this verse. Bringing you up to speed, the lady has went to town and she is witnessing to those in town, the Samaritans. Jesus tells the apostles to look up. But here He's told them in the form of a question. Look at the first part of verse 35 again so you understand completely where I'm going. There are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. What He is telling them is this. He said, I understand the process of what it means to plant a seed and what it means to wait and to nurture and to nurse that seed until the time that it produces the crop. He says, I know, and you know, and I know that in many crops you can look for 4 months from the time that you plant it in the ground. And in this case, He's referring to grain. And the grain, once it's drilled into the ground, takes 4 months from the day that it's put in, or roundabout, not the exact date, okay, but 4 months in general. The time you put the grain in the ground, 4 months from that day will be the time of harvest. And Jesus is making that implication here. He's saying, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking is that the harvest is ready. And what they're thinking is this. Well, wait a minute. We haven't even planted seed yet. How can the fields be ready to harvest? And He says, I know what you're thinking. So He goes on to say this. That you have to lift up your eyes and that you have to take a look because the harvest is already ready. Don't be worrying about going and planting seed and waiting on that to develop. It is already here, and that is what we are today. We need to come to the point to recognize that the harvest is already here, that we need not worrying about or waiting on planting seed where God has already made the increase because the harvest is ready today. Now, that being said, I want to share with you a couple of very, very significant points. If you look back here in verse 35, I want to give you a comparison this morning, if you will allow me to. I want to share with you, and if you're taking notes, write this down. The first thing I want to make a comparison to is this, allurement and alignment. Allurement and alignment. Let's begin with allurement. In allurement, we are told that allurement means this, the power to attract attention. The power to attract your attention. Have you ever been trying to watch TV and you're at the end of the movie and this is the really good part, okay? Maybe you've even seen it before, but this is the really kind of, yeah. It's the good part. And all of a sudden, your children, who you know their daddy was not a glassmaker, and the wife walks in and says, just imagine, everybody focus on this bush for a minute. Ready? You're really getting into this bush and everything's going well. And I do this. And you're like, man, get out of the way, you know? What's going on? But see, that's how it is when you're watching TV. Now, what do you do when you're watching TV and you're really trying to focus in and it's getting good, okay? Clint Eastwood's done walked out in the street. He's done pulled his hat down a little bit. And he's ready to go, okay? I'm talking from experience. Amen. And it's on. And about that time, somebody runs in there and jumps in front of the TV. And guess what you do? You don't care if the house is on fire. You don't care what's happening. You just know that you need to move one way or the other. But why do they get right in front of the TV? My children even do this to me sometimes. Daddy, 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 Daddy! I'm like, give me a minute, for heaven's sake. I just want to watch the end of the movie. That's all I wanted to do. And they don't understand, but you know, you've been there. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. People get there, and what they try to do is allure your sight and take it off. Many times they may block your sight, but you know what that person is? That person is a circumstance. And what happens is when you have your sight set on something, things a lot of the time get in your vision. They cloud your vision. They also distort your vision. It may be in the form of astigmatism. Something just changes your arrangement of sight, and it distorts it. And you do everything in your power to get that focus back. But here's the truth. You've been in that same movie, and sometime you can rebound. You can kind of, and you're there. You did a little shucking job, and you're right back where you wanted to be. And you got them. But sometimes they come up, and he's already unloaded his six-shooter. It's over. And you're kind of like, man, you know, what were you doing? And you're trying to figure it out. And what happens is you lose sight. You lose your focus because what you were looking to is gone. Something got in the way and messed it all up. And that's what God is talking about here in this verse. There are allurements, but then there's alignment. And in this allurement, watch what's happening. Look in your Bible. Look. I'm going to teach you something for a minute, okay? Just not preach. I'm going to teach you something. Look at verse 6. Let me show you his allurement, can I? And it says here that now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, was wearied with his journey. Can I submit to you the first allurement? He's tired. We all get that way. We can all relate to that. Remember now, Jesus was all God, but he was all man. Everything that you go through and suffer, Jesus went through it too in the flesh for 33 years. He knows exactly what you're going through. That's how he can relate to you so well. That's how he can make intercession before God the Father, because he lived in the flesh. Every temptation, desire you had, he had it. But yet he was able to live it a sinless life. So don't tell me it can't be done. My Father, which is in heaven, has already did it. God did it. Now watch this. He's weary. Number one, allurement. I get tired. You ever get tired? Or do you think real clear? Do you talk real clear? Do you act real clear when you're real tired? Nah. But Jesus is so tired, he not only just stands by the well, but look in the last part of the verse. It says that he sat thus on the well. So tired he had to get off of his feet for a minute. He sat on the well. Now watch this. Look at verse 7. Can I give you the second allurement? Look at the last part of the verse. He asked the lady there, the woman at the well, he says, give me to drink. He was thirsty. Have you ever been so thirsty that you walked by a river or by a mud hole, seriously, and you looked at that mud hole and you were trying to comb off the best part of that water in that mud hole? Somebody, I'm serious, you really considered drinking some because you were just so thirsty. I have. I don't know about you, but I got so cottonmouthed. My mouth was so dry. And it's like when I talked, I breathed dust. And I just wanted something to drink so bad. I'd give anything for a cool, crisp, crystal, clear glass of water. And I'm so thirsty. Jesus is so thirsty. Not only is he tired, that's an allurement. Number two, he's thirsty. Now watch and look in verse 8. Here we go again. Here's the third allurement. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. To buy meat for who? Verse 31 will tell you. If you look at verse 31 with me, it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. The meat was not only for the 12 disciples, but the meat was for Jesus. He was hungry. Now, I don't know about you. I love people. But when I get hungry, I begin to think about Mac an awful lot. Amen. And that's pretty obvious. I can give you a profile shot pretty quick, but I'm not going to do it. But I'm telling you, when I get hungry, I go to looking. There are times when I've been out of the jobs and you didn't have, you know, just like a quick express Burger King. But the thing is, but you look for stuff. But I'm telling you, it's like this right here. Like potted meat, that's kind of nasty to some people. But potted meat, Brother Todd, with saltines on the job when you're hungry is so good. Vieners are so good on the job with a cookie if you're really hungry. In fact, Uncle Bob's dog eats collards after 7 days of nothing else. When you get hungry, you will eat anything. I'm telling you. And here's the thing. Now watch this now. But when I'm at home, the potted meat and the viner don't taste so good. Because, see, I got a little Snicker bar back behind the refrigerator. There's little things I can get to if I need to, as long as my youngest didn't see me put them there. I don't know how them little monkeys get up there, but I'm telling you, them little curtain climbers can get up there and get my groceries. And what it is, your mouth's watering when you're getting all home and you got everything kind of planned out and you walk up there and all you find is a wrapper. And they're sleeping. You don't want to wake them up and whip them. Man, come on. So the thing is, we have these allurements that take our attention away from us. Anything that will distract your attention. So here, the Lord's trying to make sure that these allurements that they are facing in the flesh is not going to distort their alignment of their vision, their focus. Now look at the alignment part. We have to get aligned with the Lord. Let me give you the definition of alignment. To bring parts or components in proper coordination. To bring the parts or to bring all that there is, all the components of all that you are have to be in alignment with God. For example, take your car. You've been there. You know what I'm talking about. Carry it to Black's Tire or any tire service you go to. And you go in there and your tires, you're putting new tires on. What they're going to do is they're going to take your vehicle and they're going to put it on the rack. They're going to lift it up, and they're going to check the alignment of your car. They want to make sure that all the components of that car are in perfect alignment. Because what happens is this, and let me tell you what happens very slowly but very surely this happens. You can't tell if the tires are not properly aligned until after a matter of time. You cannot see if the tire is turned just a fraction off from the others. And it's kind of been allured a little bit, and all the components aren't exactly in alignment with one another. What's going to happen is, over time, you're going to see where the tires really wear down at a specific side or a pattern of the tires, depending on how much of alignment is out. And you've even seen some vehicles go down the road, look like they're running sideways coming at you. That's kind of confusing because you don't know if they're sliding. You don't know if you're supposed to stop or get out of the way. If they would just go get an alignment, it would help everybody. But the thing is, you see them coming down the road sideways. But see, what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to emphasize and tell the disciples is this. Don't allow the allurements in your life. And here's the thing, you're going to have allurements. You can't just be a Christian and say, there went my allurements out the door. Oh, no. You still live in this flesh, so you're going to have the allurements. You're going to get hungry. You're going to get thirsty. You're going to get tired. But what happens is, he said, keep your alignment with me. Let me put you up on the rack every so often and check your alignment. Make sure all the components are all in line with one another so that over time you won't see it. You will not see that tire start losing its rubber just at one drive. See, you can't ride a car down the road, leave from here, and go all the way home, wherever it is you may live. You can't get there and say, yep, it's out of line, because that little bit of rubber, I can see it missing. No, you can't see that by the eye. But if you give it 6-8 months, you give it a year, you will see the product of misalignment. And see, so that's what we have to be careful of. See, a lot of times we work off of sight and not off of our faith. And see, 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul knew what he's talking about. You need to walk by faith, what you believe in, and not necessarily what you're seeing. Because we base a lot of things on sight. And if we don't see anything wrong with it today, that means there's nothing wrong at all. But if you give it a time to accumulate, you're going to see where you were headed down the wrong road and you were not in line with God. So that being said, to have proper alignment, The Lord had to take his disciples, put them up on the rack, and make sure every component of their being was in line with God. Every component. That means all that you are. Every molecule of your being. Mind, body, soul, and strength. Everything has to be in line with God in order to be successful. You may not see it today, but you will 6-8 months from now, or you will see it 2 years from now. It'll accumulate on you before you know what hit you, and you don't know how you got there, because sin will carry you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you ever want to pay. So here we are. Allurement, alignment. But what else did he try to tell the disciples in this verse? There is also another comparison. Confusion or concentration. Look with me back in verse 35. Can I show you where the alignment takes place? He says, "Behold, I say unto you," look at the middle part of verse 35, we're in John 4, "lift up your eyes." You know what he just told them? He said, "I need for you to take a minute and focus and get your sights on the prize. Let's get aligned with one another, and I need you to get your sights set." He leaves from that, and now this is where he's going to focus on the concentration of your sight that's being put in place. He says, "And look on the field." Confusion or concentration? Let me start with confusion. Confusion means to mix up mentally and to be distracted and to make a mistake of identity. Listen to this very closely. Let me read that again. Confusion means to mix up mentally in your mind. It means to be distracted from the course. And it also means to make a mistake of identity. Emphasis on make a mistake of identity. Let me tell you what happens with me, with you, with people you know, Christians, those who are not. Black, white, yellow, red, doesn't matter. What you live in America, live in Russia, in the world, all of God's creation. I'll tell you what happens. The reason that there is a shortage and the reason that there is always more harvest than there are laborers, there was in Jesus' time and there still is in our day, is because there is a confusion in the mind because the mind is mixed up and we are confused about our own identity. We are not very clear on who we are. We are not very clear on what it is we were made and designed to do. And we run into obstacles and roadblocks which confirm a lot of our doubts that hold us back. And we are confused, mentally mixed up, and it means that we do not realize the identity that we carry. Now, that being said, if you take allurements for a minute, and you take confusion for a minute, what is the difference? Allurements is what distracts you from the outside in. Confusion is what distracts you from the inside out. And as human beings, you have to contend with both of them. Allurements and confusion. Now, the allurements in this case, very clear and cut dry. The disciples and Jesus are dealing with hunger, thirst, and exhaustion. How did Jesus deal with his allurements? And how did he deal with the confusion that was in the disciples? Boy, I love this because if you'll go with me now and look at verse 31 again, look at the answers. Don't let me lose you here now. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." They're well aware of the allurement. But here's their confusion. But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Watch this now. Look at verse 33. Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" There's their confusion. Mark it down. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Their allurements were the thirst,
It's the hunger and the exhaustion. Got it? That's outside. Okay?
The thing is, now it's inside the body, but we seek to take care of that allurement from the outside in. The confusion on the disciples is this. They said, hath any man brought him all to eat?
They're mixed up mentally and they're not very clear on their
actual identity. They're not real sure about the identity of Christ.
But he goes on to do this. He clears it up in verse 34. Watch this. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
That's what I'm about. That's what we are supposed to be about, as God's people. But now, can I share with you just a couple of examples for a minute? When you come down to this, to the nuts and the bolts of this service and you say, okay, give me some very descriptive. I know what the Bible says about allurements and confusion. But can I give you some very clear examples? If I asked you this morning, I said, how many of you have been caught up in a situation in your life? This may be specifically pertaining to you or it may be in general. But how many of you have, at times have lived above your means and you have, don't you raise your hand, don't you say anything, because that's your business. But how many of you have done that and you've got yourself into a considerable amount of debt? Now watch this. What's happening now is this. Even though you're in debt, what you are doing is this. You are allured by the fact that you don't have enough money to make ends meet. And you go out and you take every time that God has given you to go out to the harvest because it's ready. And you're not able to go to the fields when they're white to harvest because you're confused in your mind about who you are. The allurement of our decision making is confused us in our mind of exactly who we are and our identity. Therefore, let me tell you what happened. Nothing. You're so busy working on your debt, and you're so busy working on the bad decisions you've made, you will never accomplish anything for God because you are tracing and falling into that pattern of bad decisions. And guess what? You're confused about your identity and therefore the harvest. What will happen to the grain in the harvest if no one goes to pull the crop? That which was planted by someone else and that which was supposed to be harvested by others will die and perish in the field because we were allured and confused about our identity. And you say, well, tomorrow I'll be in a good shape. Who told you you had tomorrow? Will you bring them to me so I can talk to them? Who told you you got tomorrow? But can I tell you who said you've got today? I can share that with you. His name is Jesus. You've got today. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to just throw this out there for a minute, and I'm not rambling. But I want to give you some advice for a minute. Hard times are coming to America, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, okay? I do believe the economy will pick up, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. Be careful of the allurement of this. You're going to try and work two and three jobs to try to make ends meet. You're not going to be able to come to church. You're not going to be able to read your Bible. You're not going to be able to pray to God. And what is happening is this, whether you realize it or whether you are too prideful to admit it, you are taking it into your own hands. Therefore, you're being allured by the complications of life. You are confused about your identity, and you forgot that Jesus Christ said He would take care of His people. And the harvest will die in the fields because you said, I will resurrect my life and I will not trust God and His Word to resurrect my property. And people are suffering and they are dying. I heard one preacher say this. Everybody take a deep breath for a minute. Blow it out. 10 souls just went to hell. Take another deep breath. Blow it out. 10 more souls just went to hell. And we can do this all day long. The harvest is plenteous. and the laborers are few. Now let me show you the distraction that Satan's doing. I'm not fussing, but I'm just pastoring to you, okay? I'm your pastor. What's happening is, as we're being allured in this economic recession that we're in, watch this. Jesus Christ is hollering out and telling us, I've rose you up to do many things, but let me get clear dry with you just for a minute. He said, you look around and you see all the circumstances that have taken your allurement, taken your alignment of the Lord, and it's allured you. You're thinking you're scared, you're worried, and that's normal because you're human beings. He said, but I have rose you up. I have made a promise to you that I have not made to other people because you are my people. They have chose not to accept me. Therefore, they do not fall under the clauses and all the benefits and the promises that I give unto you. But I tell you people, it is harvest time. The fields are white. The laborers are few. It's time to go forward because these people are hurting. They're suffering. They don't feel love. They feel rejection. They're confused. They don't know what to do. And it's up to the Christian to stand up and say, I can tell you what to do, how to get there, and who will help you along the way. But I will tell you this, my dear friend, Satan has already won the victory. If you are a Christian and you are a soldier of the cross and you are also feeling the economic recession that we're in, I understand that. I don't know it in detail. I'm not you and you're not me, and I'm not going to try to change with you. But I will tell you this. If you are trying to go out and work 2 and 3 jobs, and if you are going out and you're going to keep what you've got, truth be known, you may need to settle for a different car. Truth be known, you might need to settle for a different house. Truth be known, you might need to settle for a different neighborhood. It is not to go out and try to make ends meet and keep what you've got, because I believe that our God is humbling America so that they will be able to see Jesus, the one who died on the cross. And if we as God's people are out there just like them trying to make ends meet and do all these things and keep what we've got, we're going to lose it and the harvest will die and perish in the field. And that's a wake-up call to me. You are called to be a different person. You cannot go on justifying your means. But you stand up proudly, unashamedly, with the boldness that Christ offers you and tells you, if I will take care of the fowl in the air, I will take care of my people. And He did not call you to leave His services. He did not call you to leave the field. He did not call His laborers out so that we could go out and justify why we're not working. God said, you pay attention to that stuff if you want to, and Satan's got you exactly where he wants you. And I'm trying to send a message out to you today telling you people, listen to me. My name is Jesus Christ, and I am God Almighty. I am the great I am. I still am. I'm alive and well. I'm not dead in the grave. But I will tell you today, I sit in glory, and all that I have is yours. I've made you the heirs of the kingdom of heaven. You're well on your way. Don't you lose sight of me. Don't you be allured by all these circumstances. You stay on alignment. You put yourself on a rack if you need to. I'll straighten you out, every component that you are, and I will put you in align your sights so that you will be focused on the prize that is hand. Now is the time of harvest. Now is the time to reap. Get up and go and stop looking at the circumstances and look at me. My name is Christ. And any other path than that will sidetrack you and derail who you are. And derailment is not a good place for a believer to be. It's not a good place for anybody to be, but listen, if you don't have Christ in your life, you've never been on track anyhow, so therefore you can never be derailed. Truth is, you've got what it takes to get it done. You just got to believe that. You've got to get some confidence. And I want you to go out. You've seen these people you've invited. You see how they come? Can I tell you something? Had you been too busy working or doing something else and you wouldn't have had time to ask them, can I submit something to you this morning? They wouldn't be here. That's the truth. And if we stop, if we settle for halfway, we will not accomplish our goal that's been set before us. It's all or nothing, church. It's all or nothing. You got to give it all you got till He calls you home. You got to bleed for Him. You got to sweat for Him. You've got to be ready to cry for him, but you've got to be ready to laugh and rejoice when the days come. And we will not be sidetracked, and we will not be derailed by circumstances. But we will take the allurements in our life, consider them. But consider the lilies, for they don't toil nor do they spin. I want to be a lily. And I want God to keep my alignment, keep my sight set on him. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. God, help me keep my focus on you. This is how we close out. I've shared with you confusion. I've shared with you the difference between allurement and alignment. I've shared out with you how confusion, but now I want to give you concentration for a minute. Can I give you something? Just, can I keep your attention just for a few more minutes, okay? I know you've got to be back at 3 and you're ready to go, but before you do, take this with you. Concentration is a big word. And it takes all you've got to perform it. Confusion, allurement, and alignment. The allurements, the alignment, the confusion, the concentration. If you will show me this morning what your focus is on, I will show you your future. If your focus is to keep what you've got in this world, and I don't blame you. We're men. We're supposed to take care of our families. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm just like you. Women, you do your part. We all are important, and we all have a mindset. We are made. We have the means to survive. We're going to survive. We're going to fight and claw our way through any circumstance because we are people. We are creatures who want to survive and be able to live life. That's normal. But if your focus is on all your economic problems and where you're going to do this and what you're going to drive and where you're going to live and where you're going to work, if that's what all your focus is on, can I tell you where your future is going to be? It's going to be right out there doing that. But if your focus in the midst of all this here, when you talk to the one who says, peace be still, and the wind and the sea obey him, just like that, if you put your focus on him, little did you know, but right now we're trying to take the backdoor approach when we're not taking the approach God's called us to. He said, just come through me, and I'll take care of every detail. And it is that simple. But the hard part of that is this. We don't want to trust in him with all that we've got. We want to keep what the little things we've got, and we want to just say, Lord, I'm going to give you this, but can I hold on just to a handful? And you can't do that. It's going to tear you apart. So if you will show me your focus this morning as individuals, I will show you what your future is going to be like. Very simple. Carl Lewis was asked on concentration, and I'm closing out with concentration, okay? Carl Lewis's trainer was asked in an interview one day by a reporter. He asked Carl Lewis, he said, how did he do it? How does Carl Lewis do it? It says when he runs and he jumps, it's like he's never going to touch the ground. He just soars through the air on the long jump. How does he do it? The trainer was asked. He said, I can sum that up to you in two words. Complete concentration. When Carl Lewis did his task and he ran his race, he had complete concentration. Did he have allurement? You betcha. Was there confusion? You betcha. But in spite of all of that, he proved to the world and to himself that complete concentration is possible and it's within our grasp. And it also shows us the results thereof. Now, how do you get concentrated? I'm not going to leave you hanging. How do you get full concentration? The Bible tells us that answer too, if you care to look. Look at verse 28. The woman at the well then left her water pot. I've told you before what that water pot is. That's good intention. She came to gather water, but she didn't leave with any water that she came after, right? She came with the water that Jesus offered her, which is the gospel. She left her water pot, which means she left her good intention. All some of you got to do this morning, the only thing that's hinging on your concentration this morning is leaving your good intentions where you are this morning at the foot of this cross. And if you leave your water parts there, let me show you what's going to happen.
And she went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? And watch what happens in verse 30. Then they, talking about the Samaritans, went out of the city and came unto him. Now look at verse 35 again. Lift up your eyes, he said.
Don't worry about nothing else. Listen to me, church. Don't you worry about anything else this morning. He's telling you and commissioning you to lift up your eyes. He's telling you to get your alignment right with Him. And He goes on to say, and look on the fields, which means to look on the fields, you've got to be completely concentrated. Complete concentration. Don't look here, don't look there, but look there. And when your focus is on those Samaritans coming across the way, I will show you what your future is going to be. He said, here they come. Here they come. And He says, now behold, lift your eyes up and look upon them, because they are white, all ready to harvest.
And if we have ever seen a time, can I tell you what's going on in this church? Revival. This is revival. We hold revival meetings, but this is a moving of God and His people. That's revival. This is a revival. Out of 120 Free Will Baptist churches across the state, we have been declared and been told there is not a movement that has gone on like this in 2008. And you are a part of that. You've just seen the tip of the iceberg of what can happen if we take the allurements and align them with Christ. And we take the confusion and we don't understand our identity, but God clears up the confusion and the mix-up in our mind, and He says, concentrate on them because they're ready to harvest. It's time to multiply. These people are rejected. I'm telling you. They don't feel like there's any love in the world. They're looking for hope. And the hope that they need is in you. Because He is heaven's hero. And He lives inside of you as believers. And if you will just take them. How did she do it? Remember this NAES program? N-A-S-E. You got it? NAES. N-A-S-E. You're a nobody who can tell anybody that there's a somebody who can save everybody. Everybody got it down, Pat? We're going to do it all together. Now, remember NAES, okay? So think about your letters in your head while we're going. Ready? N-A-S-E, okay? I'm a nobody who can tell anybody. Now, wait a minute. Nobody wanted to say that first part. The pride's got to leave you if you're going to follow Christ. So let's do that a little more ambitious, can we now? I'm a nobody who can tell anybody that somebody who can save everybody. Let's do that again. Preacher messed it up. NAES, ready? I'm a nobody who can tell anybody there's a somebody who can save everybody. And that's what she did when she said this in verse 29. Keep it simple, people. Watch this. She just went to the town and told them this. Watch this. Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? You know why people are here with you today? Because you told them, come and see what God has done. He is just not of the Lord. That's it. Remember NAES? And remember John 4 and verse 29. And all you've got to do to people is this, because they're hungering for the Word, trust me. That's why God said it's harvest time. You know why all those Samaritans were coming across the field? Because they were looking for something they could not find in Samaria. And those people are out there and they're hungry, and they will walk around aimlessly and they will never find it out there. But they can find it here. As long as I'm alive and well in this church stand, they can find it here.
They can find that love that he talks about. They can find that peace that passeth all understanding. And all you got to do, people, as our musicians make their way for invitation, we're just going to have just a time to where if you want to come and pray about what God's put on your heart this morning, you're going to have that opportunity. But let me tell you, all you got to do is this. Ready? We don't do it. Why? Because we're scared. We don't do it beyond that point because we don't know what to do. But can I tell you this morning that if anybody in here wants to do it, you can. All the way we'll multiply is by taking everybody and telling them about that summer. And all you got to do is tell them what the Lord did for you. And that's it. Can you do that? Because, see, that's personal. And you won't forget about that. All you got to do is tell them how the Lord saved you and what He's doing. That's it. Don't you go up here. We'll have time of training where you can have scripture and do all kinds of things. But meanwhile, very simply, just tell them what the Lord did for you. You know what that woman did? Did that woman know a bunch of scripture when she went back into town? Mm-mm. She didn't know nothing. A rejected woman by many. All she told them, she said, come and see. There's a man who told me everything I've done wrong. Is it not Christ? The reason those people came is because the Holy Spirit had already prepared their hearts. And the Lord said, without my 12 apostles and without people who know how to take care of it and deal with it, they'll come across the field, but they'll never be saved. And if you don't go and if you don't tell, guess what? They will die and perish, and every breath you take, 10 people just went to hell. Life's too short. You know as well as I do, you work all your life for things and it's gone just like that. Won't you be like Alexander the Great and just tell those who are going to bury you to bury my hands outside of the ground? So when people walk by his grave, the biggest conqueror of the world, he wanted to declare that I came in the world like this and this is how I'm going to leave it. The same way you're going to leave. But why can't we take, when you look at verse 36, when you get home today and you do your homework in between now and the 3 o'clock service, look at the fruit that you're putting up in heaven where moth nor dust can corrupt it. If God spoke to your heart this morning and you're for real about exalting the King and expanding the kingdom, exalting the King and expanding the kingdom, if you're for real about that today, if you feel like God's allured you, if you feel like you've been allured and your alignment is off of God, you need to be put on the rack this morning. You need to have all your components put in line. You need to come this morning and say, God, clear this confusion up my mind and give me the concentration that Carl Lewis has so when I go out and do my job, people will stand in awe and say, what is he or she got? I want what they got. And if you hadn't had anybody ask you that lately, truth be known, you're probably living the life just like they are, carrying the title of a Christian, and you're not living like it. They're hungry. They're lost, and they're looking for hope, and that hope is in you. Will you stand? Every head's bowed, eyes are closed. This morning, God, you've spoke to hearts. You've presented a message that challenges our hearts. And Father, I pray this morning that you would give us the courage to be able to go forward and live life for you, proclaiming your